Hi everyone, this is Vishen Lakhiani. Today I've got I managed to get us an interview with a remarkable man. His name is Steve G. Jones, and his day job is working as a hypnotherapist. His clients are mostly celebrities, and you will be seeing him on A&E soon in a show on past life regression. Steve has got a doctorate in education, and he's in New York. Now, why is Steve so fascinating? Well, Steve is one of the foremost experts, not just in hypnotherapy, but in the art of astral projection, and that's going to be the subject of this interview today. Now, if you've never heard of astral projection, it is a remarkable phenomenon. Steve is going to be telling you all about it, but it's something that can have an amazing impact in your life and the way you view the world. So, Steve, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Great. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about astral projection? People have heard about this, but I know on our blog we've had one or two articles about it, but I think there still is a lot of questions and ignorance in terms of what it really is about. So fill us in.
Well, if we start with the premise that we are in a three-dimensional world, length, width, and height, and then we try to wrap our minds around the fact that there is a fourth dimension and there's a four-dimensional world, then we begin to get an idea of what astral projection is, because astral projection deals with our spiritual body, which exists in the fourth dimension. So when we are astral projecting, we are moving that body around. And that body is, during the daytime, in our physical body in this three-dimensional plane. But when we go to sleep, we have a different opportunity. And sometimes when we're awake, if we become really adept at astral projection, we have a different opportunity, which is to move that other body, that other version of us, around in the astral world.
Okay. So what you're really talking about is a way to, would this then be an art to move your astral body, your spiritual body, out of your physical body?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens to your physical body when you're able to spiritually detach from it?
Well, your physical body remains completely intact, and nothing actually happens to it. Your astral body is able to travel freely anyway. Sometimes we have dreams of falling or flying. Those, in many cases, are instances of astral projection. The only difference when we become adept at it is that we're taking charge of it, and if we become really good at it, as I've said, we're able to do it consciously so that we're able to be aware of it. But when we leave our physical body, nothing actually happens to our physical body. So it's perfectly normal, safe, and natural, and it happens consistently. When we learn astral projection, we're just learning to take charge of a natural function.
I see. Steve, that is remarkable. Now, I have a bunch of questions over here. Now, when you're able to get your astral body, your spiritual body, to detach from your physical body, what is that like? What do you experience?
Well, it actually feels like your physical body, but it feels more like it's energized, like every part of your physical body is tingling and you're very aware of every part. However, it is your astral body, and the way you know that there's a difference is that you can float, whereas normally with your physical body, you would be unable to float in this three-dimensional plane unless you had some sort of advanced training with that. But in your astral body, you're able to float, to actually hover above objects. And the reason is that these objects are in the third dimension. So your bed and the floor and this thing we call gravity, those are three-dimensional concepts which don't really have any relevance in the fourth dimension.
Now, that's fascinating. Okay, so what's going on over here then? Is this like an out-of-body experience?
Yes. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Would this then be similar to an out-of-body experience? I've heard, in fact, I know people who've experienced situations where while lying in a hospital bed about to undergo an operation or while under anesthesia, they have a sensation of being separated from their body, and then they find themselves floating upwards towards the ceiling. They turn around, they look down, they see their body lying there on the hospital bed. Now, they are not dead, but momentarily they disassociated from their body. This had happened to a friend of mine. So would this then be similar to an out-of-body experience?
Yes, it's the same thing. An OBE, or out-of-body experience, is astral projection. The main difference is that normally during an OBE, out-of-body experience, the person is caught off guard, or they remember it afterwards, as in the case of surgery, which your friend experienced. Was that the case? They were having a surgical procedure?
Yes.
Okay. Very.
Go on. Mm-hmm.
Very often the patient who has an OBE during surgery will hear things that people said that they wouldn't normally be able to hear from their position in the room, and they will see things from an angle that they wouldn't normally be able to see from their position in the room. So we know that it's not just a matter of their eyes opening and taking in data visually during the surgery. It's a matter of them actually relocating their position and seeing other things from other angles. That's how we're able to, that's one of the ways we're able to verify OBEs. But they normally happen without the without the pre-planning of the person, and a lot of times they happen against the person's will. People go into surgery, they don't plan to have an out-of-body experience. They don't necessarily want to have one. It's just something that happens during surgery. With astral projection, we're taking charge of that. As I've said, it's a natural occurrence. It's something that happens natural. It's a natural function of ourselves, of who we really are. But an astral projection, rather than it happening randomly or happening when we don't want it to or when we don't expect it, it happens when we want it to and how we want it to.
I see. And so the art of astral projection is basically, it's almost like an induced OBE. But what does one get from it?
Well, from astral projection, you can get a lot of things, and there are, of course, people who have ill intentions who use astral projection to spy on other people, to see what they're doing, and so forth. But there are a lot of good things you can get from it also. For example, most people who consciously astral project, in other words, they're astral projecting and they're aware of doing it, sort of like a lucid dream. They're aware that it's going on. Most people who practice that have really positive intentions. They're very spiritual people, they're very evolved spiritually, and they want to meet like-minded people. So you can actually meet these people in the astral realms. You can actually have meetings with them, learn from them. A lot of times they're extremely advanced people, not only people, but there are beings in the astral planes also that you can also meet and learn from.
Now, Steve, this sounds very much like science fiction. Now, I believe you because I've experienced astral projection. It happened once by accident. I was maybe 17 years old. I experienced it. It was a bizarre sensation, but it was a remarkable sensation. I then tried to emulate to repeat the process. I was not successful. So mine was more of it really happened accidentally while I was meditating. Now, what you just said might, to someone who is new to this, it might scare them or sound almost science fiction to them. Could you elaborate more on what you mean by going into an alternate dimension and meeting beings? How would you explain this to someone who is just being introduced to astral projection?
Well, think about the dreams that you've had. First of all, some of them can be very bizarre and fascinating, so it's not so much unlike a dream world, except that it is an actual world with actual structures. I would say they're physical structures, but they're actually metaphysical structures. So they are solid, but they are not of this realm. They're not of the third dimensional realm. So I would look at it as a different world or a different country when you think about traveling somewhere you've never been to before, except in this case you actually have been there. You just didn't have control over it, or in a lot of cases don't have a memory of it. So it's not unlike having a dream or going to a different country, except that it is actually something that you have been doing, and unlike a dream, it's completely real.
Wow. And by real, what you mean is you are fully awake, you're fully conscious, you can see everything as if it's real, except that things are almost etherical in nature. In other words, it's not physical.
Right. And a lot of times, things in the fourth dimension are more clear. I, for example, when I astral project, can see structures in the fourth dimension, which are even more clearly seen by me than what I see during my waking life. When I walk around and I look at structures and trees and so forth, they have one appearance, but in the astral world, they have a more crisp, more clear, more vivid appearance.
That's fascinating. So I guess now, and this brings us to an important point. This is something that people need to understand. An astral projection is unlike a dream. Am I right?
It can be unlike a dream once you realize what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, it can be a lot like a dream, and your mind will dismiss it as a dream. Oh, that was a fascinating dream.
Right.
But if you're taking control of it, then it will be unlike a dream in the sense that these things that you're seeing are real, and magic doesn't actually happen. It will seem to be magical at first, but there are actually rules, just like we have rules, like we have Newtonian physics, we have physics that Einstein discovered. We have our basic physics and our advanced physics. Well, so does that world. But initially it's going to seem, because it's so new and so different, it's going to seem as if it may be dreamlike and maybe there aren't any rules. But as you go on and progress in it, you'll find that there are definite rules and there are definite structures.
Right. And astral projection is different from lucid dreaming, correct?
It is. Yes, it is different than lucid dreaming. Now keep this in mind, not all astral projection is lucid dreaming, but keep this in mind. Sometimes astral projection is lucid dreaming, and sometimes lucid dreaming is astral projection, but not all the time. So there is an overlap. They can be the same thing, but they're not necessarily the same thing. The way a lucid dream is strictly defined is simply a dream that you become aware of while you're dreaming. So you're having a dream, and during that dream, you realize, aha, I'm dreaming. I have some control in this dream. Now realize you may still be in your creative fantasy land. You may not be in the astral world. You may just be in your head imagining things. So you see Mickey Mouse, or you see yourself floating in space, and these things may just be from your imagination. However, it is possible that during a lucid dream, you are astral projecting. There are certain ways to determine what's going on, but you have to become a little bit more advanced before you can realize the difference.
Amazing. So we're now going to get to a couple of very fascinating questions where I'm going to be asking Steve about his experiences while astral projecting, some of the fascinating stuff he's discovered and experienced, and how he got started. Now, for those of you who might need to leave at this point, you can learn more by going to experienceastralprojection.com/Steve, S-T-E-V-E. So just add S-T-E-V-E / to the end of our website. And what you'll be able to find over there is information on Steve. You'll be able to see a quick video interview with him. And you'll be able to learn a little bit about how he trains people to experience astral projection. Okay, Steve, so what I'd love to find out now is, how did you get started? What was your first experience like, and how did that feel to you?
Well, I was in military school. My parents sent me to a military school for boys when I was in 10th grade. So I was 2 years from finishing my high school experience, and I was probably about 14 or 15 years old. And so there I was. I was stuck in the school. It was a boarding school, and there wasn't much to do except for the military procedures they had us do, you know, marching around and so forth. So you can imagine I felt very trapped. I was looking for a way out. And physically, that wasn't available to me, so I started looking inward into my mind. And this is the time during which I discovered hypnotherapy in general and also discovered things such as astral projection. And I simply got a book on it and started reading about this fascinating world, the astral world, and I started practicing. I would lie in my bed at night, close my eyes, and I would work on getting an arm out or a leg out or getting my head out. And when I say out, I mean getting my astral body out of my physical body. And you can tell when it's going on. You'll just have to take my word for it until it actually happens, those of you listening. But when you get a part of your body out, you can tell a difference. You can tell it's not just your left arm moving. In fact, you can look and you can see your left arm is perfectly still, but yet you feel as though your arm is out. That's because your astral arm is out. So there I was practicing this and having minimal success. I was having a little bit of fun with it, a little bit of success, but I wasn't really getting anywhere. And this went on for probably a couple weeks. Well, then one night I had what I thought was a dream, except in this dream my body felt like energy, felt like pure energy. And in my dream, I was out after TAPS. Now, TAPS at a military institution, at a high school or a college or in the actual military, TAPS means lights are out and you're in your room for the night. and you're not supposed to go out. So there I was in my dream, my quote-unquote dream, out after taps. That meant I was going to be in trouble. I would be punished. And not only that, but there was one of the people in charge walking around, the commandant, was actually the assistant commandant. His name was Colonel Krasnaski. And he was walking around, and as I remember, he was always looking for a way to punish the young boys for doing things, even though he was not cruel, but he tried to keep people in line. So imagine that. I thought suddenly that I was in the situation where I'm breaking the rules, I'm going to get in trouble. And on top of that, with me was one of the worst troublemakers in the school. He was there next to me, and I said, what are we going to do? And we started trying to hide behind some buses so that the colonel wouldn't see us. Well, then that dream ended, and I didn't think much of it until the next morning when I saw this troublemaker who was in my dream, and I said, hey, what did you dream about last night? And he said, I had a dream about you. And I said, okay, tell me more. He explained the dream in vivid detail. He explained exactly what happened. There we were, out of your taps. There was Colonel Krasnaski about to catch us. We had to hide. I thought, there's no way in the world that this person would know this much detail unless he'd actually been there. So that was my first experience with astral projection.
So what had in fact happened, Steve, was that, I mean, was it that the troublemaker had himself also astral projected?
Yes, we were both in our astral bodies. Our physical bodies were safe, and they were in bed where they belonged, in our respective beds, in our respective rooms. However, our astral bodies, for some reason, had met up in this place, and there was the colonel, who could have either been in his astral body or his physical body, I'm not sure which, but there he was as part of this, but this troublemaker and I were in our astral bodies, and we had both astral projected, and we had met up in our astral bodies, and there we were in this scenario in which we thought that we were in trouble because we thought that we were in our physical bodies.
Wow. I mean, to an average person hearing that story, it sounds almost unbelievable. Yet again, I've read so many books that verify and show that this is real. So my question then is this. You are consciously trying to astral project. Was this troublemaker also consciously trying to astral project, or was it in his case simply happening by accident?
It was simply happening by accident for him. For him, it was just a natural occurrence. He wasn't trying to make it happen. He was just astral projecting all on his own.
So then what this means is a lot of us astral project by accident, but we probably dismiss it as lucid dreams or really vivid dreams.
If I had never had the conversation with him, which I normally wouldn't because I didn't care for him because he was such a troublemaker and I was trying to be a good student, then I never would have verified the story, and I would have dismissed it just like so many people do. I would have dismissed it as, like you said, a lucid dream or simply some sort of regular dream that occurred to me.
And the other key learning from that story that you just shared is that this is an art that can be consciously learned. In other words, you were not born with any specific skills or DNA that made you a good astral projection person. You studied this through books when you were a teenager. Am I correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, you are correct, and that is what happened. Now, keep in mind, some people, just like when it comes to athletics, some people are natural athletes, and they don't have to exercise much to be able to run quickly or jump far. Some people have a natural aptitude, a natural proclivity for running fast or jumping far. I wasn't one of those people. I was someone who had to exercise, if you will, and practice, if you will, to make this happen. So some people are able to do it easily. Some people are not, but all of us do it unconsciously anyway. When I talk about being able to do it easily, I mean consciously with awareness do it. And that's the difference between letting it control you and you controlling it. We all have the ability to astral project. We all do it almost every time we sleep, but very few have the natural aptitude for it, and very few take their ability that they do have, whatever it may be, and work on it. But we all have the ability to take whatever level we're at and get to the level that I've gotten to.
Wow. So how about you tell us about your most exciting astral adventure? Because that
well, my
In all the books I've read on astral projection, what struck me as fascinating was the remarkable sights and experiences that these travelers had during their adventures. And that to me seemed to be one of the biggest benefits of astral projection. It's almost as if being able to immerse yourself in an entirely new world, discover new things, interact with other beings, all while you're lying in bed, except that only your physical body is in bed, your mind is elsewhere. I particularly was mesmerized by the books by Robert Munro, Journeys Out of the Body, and the stuff Robert Munro talked about was just mind-blowing. It was like going on an adventure anytime you choose. So I'd love to hear about your most remarkable adventures.
Okay, and Munro has excellent books, and there's the Munro Institute, and Dr. Tuesday Lobsang Rampa, Tibetan monk, inspired me in my early years. He has as well passed away at this time. But my adventures had to do with travel. I was very interested in travel, and at this point in my life, I hadn't traveled any of the world. Now, being 41, I've traveled a lot of the world. I've traveled to the Orient, I've traveled to Europe, and of course a lot of America and Canada and South America and so forth. I've traveled quite a bit in my physical body, but as a kid, I hadn't traveled at all in my physical body outside of the United States of America. So I wanted to see what was out there. With astral projection, it made it all possible. Suddenly I was able to go to the Eiffel Tower. Suddenly I was able to go to the Louvre. Suddenly I was able to go to wherever I wanted to go. Not only was I able to go there, but I was able to interact with other astral travelers and talk about the journeys. And when you think about taking a trip somewhere, you think about planning it and paying for it and getting on the plane and sleeping and lodging and so forth. Well, with astral projection, you don't need to plan any of that. So for me, it was great. As a kid, I was able to instantly transport myself, because in the fourth dimension you're not limited by time or space, so I was able to instantly transport myself to where I wanted to go and then talk about those journeys with other people. So we didn't talk about things such as the plane trip over or where are you staying or anything like that. All we talked about is where we were and how fascinating it was that we were there and other places that we had been. And when we talked about them, we could go there immediately. So imagine being with a group of friends, talking about a place that you've been to, and everybody says, why don't we go there right now? And so we went there immediately. So for a kid who had never been anywhere, suddenly I was able to go everywhere. And that was fascinating for me, the travel aspect.
Wow. So now I just realized that there are two different forms of adventures you can do while astral projection. Now tell me if this is true, but you can visit the physical world, so you can move your mind to Paris and experience the Eiffel Tower as if you were actually there. And then there's the astral plane, which gets a little bit more weird, but you can also project yourself to the astral plane. Is this correct, and could you explain the difference?
Sure, and keep in mind that if you were to see a ghost while you're in the physical world, mm-hmm. it would appear hazy to you. Anytime we see quote-unquote pictures of ghosts or people talking about ghosts, it seems as though a puff of cigarette smoke or something. That's mm-hmm. sort of the consistency it has.
Right.
Well, that's sort of the consistency that the physical world has when you're in the astral world. So when you see these structures, they don't appear crisp. However, the astral structures do. And the astral structures are quite a bit different than the physical structures. Here, in this third-dimensional world, we see things that people have built. And in the astral world, we don't see things that people have built. We see things that are just there. Now, I don't know how they got there. I know what they look like, and I know where they are, but I don't know how they got there. To me, that's still a mystery. So hopefully there will be a new generation of astral projectors who will perhaps write books on astral geography and so forth and delve into a little bit of where these structures came from. But I do know they're very detailed. When you look at them, they're very crisp. They're very detailed. A lot of them appear to me to be darker, sort of like a sandstone color, and they have etchings in them. So you can clearly tell the difference between an astral structure and a physical structure because of the crispness, because of the fact that it doesn't appear to be anything, at least that a modern civilization created. It doesn't appear to be like a car or a modern building or anything like that. They have a definite appearance of if anything, something that an ancient civilization built. And they appear clear, and the real, what we call real, quote-unquote real things, Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, what have you, appears to be a little hazy, as if a ghost.
I see. And now, these structures that you're seeing, what exactly do they look like? If you have to describe them to someone who's never been there.
Well, the structures to me look like buildings. They have not smooth surfaces, but they have surfaces to them which have some relief in them. They have ridges, they have grooves, and so forth. They appear to be large, solid structures that will last for a long time. I don't know what they're made out of. I don't know how they got there. I certainly have not seen all of them. My interest, keep in mind, is what I can see of the physical world, even though it appears a little ghostly, when I'm astral projecting. So these structures that are there, the astral structures, don't necessarily interest me, but I can definitely see a group of astral archaeologists, if you will, studying these structures. I'd be fascinated to receive emails about that, or to see a website about that, or something about these structures and some theories about how they got there. But that's how they appear to me, to be, let me think what I can compare them to, the temples of Tulum in Mexico. They have a temple-like appearance to them, and they appear to be made of some sort of rock or natural substance, even though I don't believe it to be rock, because it is in the fourth dimension, and we have to be careful of making parallels between the third and fourth dimension, because it's a completely different universe, completely different set of physics laws and substances. But if I had to say it looked like something, I would say they looked like the temples of Tulum.
Wow. Now, what are some of the other things that you've seen in this fourth dimension?
Well, some of the other things are more organic, and I don't even know if that word really applies. When you say organic, I'm talking about a living being. We think about an organic being as a plant or an animal, something with some sort of circulatory system. Even plants have their own circulatory system. Humans certainly do. We have a heart and so forth. But in the astral world, it's different. I haven't noticed any organs per se. Again, another fascinating field could be astral anatomy. But one of the things that I have noticed of these organic beings is something that we call elementals. Those of us who astral project call them elementals. And they're very basic beings. They're the equivalent of dogs or cats or hamsters or very simple beings in this world. They have an equivalent in the astral world, which would be elementals. Now, they're not actually dogs or cats, because when you see a dog or cat, you can tell it's a dog or cat, even in the astral world. These are entities that only exist in the astral world, and you have, because there are good elementals and there are not so good elementals. There are elementals that want to be your friend, or they're kind of just hanging out, they're just being what they're being, and they're elementals that want to attach themselves to you. So you have to be very careful of this.
Now, what do you mean by elementals that might want to attach themselves to you?
Well, think about a traveler. So you're traveling around, and you walk past a dog. Well, this dog may do one of several things if it's not on a leash. It may follow you, which is what I mean by attach itself to you. It might bite you, which sometimes they do actually try to attack you, or it might just look at you or not even look at you and let you pass by. Those are the same sorts of occurrences that can happen with the elementals. They can either attack you or let you go or do some version in between. So when you see an elemental, just like when you see a dog, you have to start thinking to yourself, is this dog going to bite me? Is this a friendly dog? Is this dog going to follow me? Do I want this dog to follow me? And those sorts of questions come to mind. That's what elementals are. They're the basic beings of the astral world.
I see. And they could be animals or humans or almost creatures that we have never seen in the physical world.
Well, they're neither animals nor humans, because when you see an animal or a human, you see a dog or cat or a human, you can tell that that's what they are. They are none of the above. They are simple creatures that only exist in that world. They don't have a body that they came out of. They didn't leave a body in the physical world and astral project. By the way you can tell that a being has a physical body is by the silver cord. There's a cord attached from the umbilicus, from the belly button, if you will, of the astral being that's going to the umbilicus of the physical being, whether it's a dog or a cat or a human. Any organic being that exists in the third dimensional world is going to have a silver cord going from the umbilicus or the belly button area. These don't have that. They only exist in the fourth dimension, and they're very simple creatures.
Now, are there any dangers in interacting with these beings?
It can be dangerous, yes. My advice, if you're a first-time astral projector and you see something and you don't know what it is, do not approach it. Do not. And in astral terminology, approaching means thinking about, because when you think about something, you're drawn to it. In the astral world, that's how you get around, by thought. You think about going to the Tower of London and suddenly you're there. I was just thinking about it, now I'm here. I'm thinking about going to the elemental and I'm suddenly there. So that can be a challenge for beginning astral projectors, because you're trying not to think about something and you end up thinking about it because you're thinking about not thinking about it. So the actual advice that I would give is to surround yourself before you do any astral projecting whatsoever. Surround yourself with white light. Imagine white light coming into your head, activating your chakras, and surrounding you and protecting you so that no matter what you encounter, they're not going to be able to harm you.
I see. So in other words, there is no danger once you know the technique.
Right. However, just like you can have a suit of armor and you can still come upon an enemy who can overpower you, there is always a certain element of danger. And when I used to astral project, I used to encounter this dark entity all the time that would scare me back into my physical body. So you can become aware of these beings. There are things out there which can overpower you, but if that happens, all you have to do is return to your physical body. They're not going to be able to kill you. They're not going to be able to harm you. All they're going to do is potentially be able to attach themselves to you, but surrounding yourself with that white light and using a reasonable amount of common sense by avoiding things that you don't understand, avoiding these beings if you don't know what they are or who they are, all of that pays off.
Wow. Now, I'm looking at your website right now, and for those of you listening in, you can get to this website by going to experienceastralprojection.com and then add /Steve at the end, and you'll be redirected to Steve's website. Now, on the website, you talk about a number of things that one would learn from your astral projection course. Defy the laws of time, defy the laws of gravity, fly through the air, instantly appear anywhere, walk through walls, visit astral planes, and all of this is stuff that we have talked about. And I know, to someone who's listening in for the first time, someone who's maybe just been exposed to meditation, this may sound a little bit outlandish, yet I would encourage you to keep an open mind and to look more into it. There was a study done, I can't remember who, but it may have been the Gallup organization, and I believe, Steve, help me here if you remember this, but I believe the study showed that about 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 Americans had at some point in their life experienced astral projection. Do you remember such a study?
I don't remember that study in particular, but I have seen numerous studies because this has been fascinating, not only to individuals and institutions of higher learning, but also to governments. Governments are very interested in harnessing this technology, so there have been a lot of studies, some of which we will never see published because they're secret. But I have seen, although I'm not familiar with that one in particular, I have seen studies that show that yes, it is that prevalent among not only Americans, but people worldwide.
Mm-hmm. So here's where things get interesting. I'm looking at your copy, and I talked about the 6 things, but the 7th thing is rather weird. It says, experience astral sex. Can you tell us what that is like?
Certainly. And when you ask me about I forget how you phrased it, but something about my most interesting astral experience, that's actually what came to mind. I didn't know that you wanted to talk about that in the interview, but astral sex is absolutely amazing. When you think about being with a partner and experiencing them physically, you can only go so far. And I've been with, having experienced sex myself in the physical body, I can say that there have been times when I wish that I could have sort of enveloped myself in that person, and they could have enveloped me in them, and we could have been sort of like one. And you can get close to that in the physical body, but your bodies never really become one. You never really have that oneness. You can have a close bond with them. You can have a feeling of being together. You can have a feeling of being united and so forth, but you never really feel that feeling of actually being one. Well, in the astral plane, you have the ability to really feel as if you are that person. And I think any time that people feel that they have experienced that in the physical body, what they're doing is actually combining their astral body with that person, because you can have physical intercourse and astral intercourse at the same time. But keep in mind, it's not necessary. You can actually have astral intercourse with someone without having physical intercourse at the same time.
That's a radical idea. Now, in terms of astral sex, how does that work? Are you here planning it with a partner, a physical partner? You're both in a room, you both decide to go to the astral plane at the same time and connect? Or does it occur in a situation where you are in your astral body, in the astral plane, and you meet another entity whom you may want to merge with?
It can happen either way. It can happen in a pre-planned way or a casual meeting, just as it can happen in the third dimension. You can plan to have intercourse with someone, or you can meet someone casually for the first time ever and have what we would call a one-night stand. Well, one-night stands, as well as pre-planned sex, happen in the astral world just like they would in the physical world, which brings up an important point, which is that you never want to force yourself on someone. Just because you're in the astral world doesn't mean that this gives the person free rein to do whatever they want. Yeah. I think people sometimes get caught up in the idea of, well, I'm in this astral world now. It's not reality. It's just this other place, and there are no laws here, so I don't have to do anything. Keep in mind, the law of karma is always in effect. So cause and effect are working to your advantage or your disadvantage with whatever you do in life, whether in the third dimension or in the fourth dimension. And actually, I've seen greater negative consequences come out of negative actions in the fourth dimension than I have in the third. So it's very important to respect what's going on. But yes, with consent, astral sex can happen just by a casual encounter or by planning it.
Wow. So what is dating like in the astral plane? I'm not trying to be facetious. That's a real question.
Very, very good question. I have limited experience dating in the astral plane. However, I have witnessed it, and I have had conversations in the astral plane with people who have routinely taken part in that. And I will simply say that people who you think don't get out much because they stay home in their physical body, some of them are getting out quite a bit and are quite active. They're not shut-ins like we might think. They have a very active social life and at a much higher plane than those in the physical world. And when you think about the advantages, if you were to go to a pub or a bar or what have you, or a nightclub, there's a chance that it'll be loud and smoky, and people will be there who are not necessarily the type of people who you would be interested in. But in the astral plane, you don't have any of that. You don't have the loud noises. There are noises, but they're not ridiculously loud. You don't have smoke. You don't have anything such as that. And the people you meet are people you are sort of drawing to you with your thoughts. Because, as I said, the vehicle of transportation in the astral world is thought. You think about going from point A to point B, and immediately you go there. There's no time that it takes to travel there. You just go there. You are there. So you are constantly attracting to yourself like-minded people. You are with people, if you're thinking about having sex, you're with people who are also thinking about having sex. If you're thinking about talking about spiritual things, you're with people who are also thinking about talking about spiritual things. So this meeting up with people and getting along with people and talking to people and kicking things off and making things work out becomes really a lot simpler because you have such a like-mindedness among the people you interact with.
Right. And one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I remember reading about this is that time has a different meaning in the astral plane. If we believe in the law of attraction, what we think about in our physical reality, we tend to draw to us, but that may come after several days or weeks or months or years. Time acts as a buffer. But in the astral plane, it happens instantaneously. So just like you said, when you think of London, boom, you end up seeing London. Would that be a correct statement?
That is absolutely correct. So I find that a lot of times when I'm working with the law of attraction, for example, and I want to bring something to my physical life, I want something to happen for me, whether it's financial or I want to meet someone or whatever it may be, if I go into the astral plane and I think about it, well, it's not going to draw it to me in the physical plane immediately, but it speeds up the process because time doesn't exist as we know it in plane. So in the astral plane, anything I want, I can get right now, but I can sort of speed up the process, although I won't make it instantaneous in the physical world. If I go into the astral world and I think about something being drawn to me in my physical world, it will speed up the process for me. So there is a way to harness that power in the physical world.
Wow. So everyone listening in, once again, you can learn more about this by going to experienceastralprojection.com/Steve. Now, we have about 15 minutes left, and I have two more important questions for Steve. Steve, on the your product website, you also mention, now this is just after astral sex, you mention that through this experience, one is able to create a higher level of self-awareness. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, you become much more aware of how things are actually operating when you go into the astral world. Because you may think that people are coming into your life and it's just purely coincidence or random. When you get into the astral plane and start working with the astral energy, if you will, putting out thoughts there, seeing them manifest instantly in the astral world, you realize that you create everything in your life by your thoughts. Whether you think positively or negatively, it doesn't matter. You're going to create positive or negative things in your life because of your thoughts. So you sort of drift to a higher plane once you see this in action. Once you see that your thoughts can immediately create something, you become a lot more careful. And you start talking a lot more positively about yourself. You start thinking a lot more positively about other people. You start looking for the good in people. You start to put out good into the universe by doing good things. And you move almost naturally away from anything negative or anything you might consider to be bad, because you don't want that coming back to you. You realize now, once you're evolving as an astral projector, you realize that everything good or bad is because of you, because of what you thought. At one point, you put a thought out there, and it's back. It came back to you. It took a little longer in the physical world, but it came back. So when I talk about advancing, I'm talking about the insights that you're going to gain and the ability that you're going to gain to improve your life very quickly.
You know, we talked earlier about how astral projection was similar to an out-of-body experience, except that an out-of-body experience is unplanned and astral projection is planned. And what you just said reminds me of, there have been tons of books on OBEs, out-of-body experiences, written by famous doctors and medical professionals. And one of the common themes of these books was that people who experienced an OBE, when they came back, they were a different person. They were more spiritually aware. They were more happy. They were more joyful. They had a completely different sense of the world. Would you say that astral projection also creates this sort of instantaneous change in terms of self-awareness? In other words, once you experience it, once you experience it, you can never view life the same way again.
I believe so. I believe that the profoundness of the effect is going to vary from person to person. Some people experience astral projection and think, oh, that was neat, or that was interesting, or that was great, but I don't really have any ongoing effects from it. I don't really have anything that I can take away from it. So it really depends on the aptitude of the person, I think, to a large degree. It depends on what they normally get from spiritual experiences. When we experience something and we're of the mindset in which we would normally take away something positive, we're going to really really benefit from this. We're going to really take away something that's absolutely amazing from astral projection. So it really depends on the level of the person, but I will say in every case, everyone that I've trained to do astral projection, everyone has gone up a few notches spiritually. So not everyone has had their lives change, but everyone becomes more aware of who they really are and what's really going on in this world.
Wow. I mean, that's a powerful benefit. And now we have about 5 minutes left. For those of you who are listening in, I'm going to ask Steve an extremely interesting question, so stay tuned. Those of you who need to leave, don't forget to learn more. Go to experienceastralprojection.com/Steve. Now, Steve, the final question, this is on your website, and this would be a remarkable benefit for people to have. You say, through the art of astral projection, you are able to connect and visit friends and family that have passed on. Can you talk more about this?
Yes, you are able to see people who are in the fourth dimension. So some people have not reincarnated yet. They've left their body, and they're just in the astral realms. They have not reincarnated into a physical body yet. So you're able to actually contact them. Now, if they've already reincarnated, they've already gone back into the physical body, then you can contact them if they're astral projecting in that new body. But in a lot of cases, if someone's just passed away, they're still in the astral planes. They're still between bodies, between incarnations, and you can talk to them. You can interact with them.
That's remarkable. And that also might probably can have a profound impact on someone's life, to be able to connect with someone who've maybe passed on, whom you've had, say, unresolved issues with.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity to tie up all the loose ends, to make amends, to do what you wanted to do, what you should have done, what you would have done if you had just known they were going to die, or if you had just been able to reach them before they died. Now's your chance, your chance that you didn't think you would get to interact with them and to make everything right.
Wonderful. Now, Steve, is it really easy for anyone to learn to do this?
It is. It's remarkably easy. When we think about it, we're already doing it anyway. We just need to harness it. It's not something unnatural or something we don't already do. It's something that we're doing every night when we go to sleep. We're just harnessing and we're just taking it and making it our own and using it to help ourselves but help others.
I see. Except that when we're doing it every night, we're doing it unconsciously, and probably when we wake up, we don't remember it because we were not consciously aware of that experience.
Exactly.
Okay. Steve, thank you so much. This was a fascinating conversation. And for those of you listening in, if you'd like to learn more, visit experienceastralprojection.com/Steve. And Steve, when does your show come out on A&E?
We do not have a release date yet. They're working on the pilot, so I will let you know as soon as I know something.
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve. It was sheer delight talking to you.
Well, my pleasure. Anytime.
Okay, take care.